But let's turn this morning to chapter 29, verse 25, where really there are two proverbs. They each stand independent, but yet they have been coupled together in contradistinction to each other. And so the first part of the proverb, the fear of man bringeth a snare. In contradistinction to that, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. First proverb, the fear of man brings a snare. Many persons have been trapped by the fear of man. I have been trapped by the fear of man. I have done things that I knew that I shouldn't do because of the fear of man. I have been guilty of bowing to peer pressure. What will people think of me as a powerful kind of incentive for doing things that in your heart you know are wrong? It's a tough place to be. Knowing in your heart what you should do, knowing what is right, and yet feeling the pressure of the crowd to do what you know is wrong. I think of how Pilate was caught in that trap, that vice. In his heart, he knew Jesus was innocent. Over and over, he said, I have found no fault in him. And yet the crowd was saying, crucify him. Why? What evil has he done? No rationale, just crucify him. And here he was caught in that trap between wanting to please the crowd and yet wanting to do what was right. And finally, when they said, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Knowing that they would send off a report to Caesar that he was lenient to a man who claimed to be king of the Jews, fearful of what consequences might result, the fear of man led him into a snare, into turning Jesus over to the crowd to be crucified. We are so influenced by what people think of us that we oftentimes find ourselves controlled by the fear of man. It is interesting to me that people so often are more interested in what other people think about them than they are of what God thinks about them. Jesus said, don't fear man who is able to kill your body, but after that has no power. But fear him who after the body is dead is able to cast your soul and spirit into Gehenna. Yeah, I say unto you, that's the one that you should fear. The fear of man, the proverb tells us, brings a snare, for it leads men into great sins. When Moses had gone up to the mount to receive the law from God, because he had tarried there for so long a time, he was 40 days there in the mount, the people finally got restless. They came to Aaron and they said, we want you to make us a god that we might worship it. As to this man Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. And so Moses said, bring all of your golden earrings and bracelets and all. And he melted them down and he made a golden calf. And the people began to worship the golden calf as Moses was returning from the mount with the law of God, the first commandment being, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. The second, thou shalt not make any graven image to bow down and worship it. And the first two commandments being broken by the people as they came into the camp. Here are the people dancing, screaming, and worshiping this golden calf that Aaron had made. And Moses took these two tables of stone upon which God had engraven the laws, and he threw them on the ground and broke them. Symbolic of the law that had been broken by the people. And then Moses said, Aaron, what have you done? And Aaron said, well, the people, the fear of man, the people had risen up. The people were demanding. And the fear of man led Aaron, the high priest, the brother of Moses, into a great sin. God had chosen Saul to be the first king of Israel. And shortly after his coronation, the Philistines had invaded the land. And Samuel said, gather the people to Gilgal and I will meet you there. And so the people of Israel, trembling, gathered around Saul in Gilgal. And Samuel didn't turn up at the appointed hour. And so Saul offered a burnt offering sacrifice unto the Lord, which was something that he had no business doing. That was a job that was only for the priest. They were the only ones to offer the sacrifices to God. But he went ahead and did it himself. And as the smoke of the sacrifice was going up, Samuel came. And Samuel said, Saul, what have you done? And Saul said, well, the people were getting so nervous and all. I forced myself. And I did it. The fear of man leads to sin. And later on, when through the prophet Samuel, Saul was ordered by God to utterly destroy the Amalekites. All of their animals, everything that was living, destroy it. But as Saul saw that some of the cattle and some of the sheep were very well favored, they were healthy, they were strong, they were good stock, he decided to bring them back. The sickly, weak-looking ones, they hacked to pieces. But in disobedience to the command of God, they brought back some of the healthy stock. And when the old prophet Samuel went out to meet him, he said, as the Lord liveth, I've done everything the Lord told me to do. And Samuel was blind at this point by age. But he said, If you've done everything that the Lord told you to do, what is the meaning of the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle that I hear? And he said, oh, well, the people, they saw that they were so good, and so they insisted. And the fear of man led him to sin. Peter had followed Jesus to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And he stood outside by the fire of the soldiers as Jesus was being tried. And a little girl came up, a young maiden, and she said, aren't you one of his disciples? Didn't I see you with him? And Peter said, no, you're mistaken, not me. She came back after a while and she said, I'm sure you're one of his disciples. I'm positive I've seen you with him. No, you're wrong. The soldiers that were standing around said, you must be, you have a Galilean accent. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I don't know the man. The fear of man, the fear of the maiden, the fear of the soldiers led Peter to sin. How many times has the fear of man caused you to sin? To do something that in your heart you knew was wrong. The fear of man has kept many people from coming to Jesus Christ. They sit there under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They know that they should go forward and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord. They know that they should begin to stand for Jesus Christ. But the fear of man keeps them from making that stand. If I go forward, what will people think? My friends will laugh at me. They'll begin to call me Holy Joe or a Jesus freak. And the fear of man has kept many people from making that all-important decision of submitting their lives to Jesus Christ. The fear of man so often keeps people from being a real witness for Christ, from speaking up when his name has been blasphemed, from sharing when a person is in need. But I think, well, I wonder, maybe, you know, they will reject it. Maybe they will reject me. Maybe they won't be my friend any longer. And the fear of man truly brings a snare. The fear of man has even caused great men of God to fail. Abraham had come to a place called Gerar. And as he looked at the place, he said, surely the fear of God isn't in this place. And so he turned to his wife Sarah and he says, honey, you're so beautiful that when these men see how beautiful you are, they'll kill me in order that they can have you. So for my sake, would you just say you're my sister rather than my wife so I can be spared? Here is this man of faith. Whenever the Bible talks about faith and wants to show you a classic example, here he is, Abraham, our great hero of faith. But the fear of man led him to the denial of his wife, to a deception. And so Abimelech, the king of the people, he saw Sarah, how beautiful she was, and he said, bring her into my harem. And so Sarah was taken into the harem of Abimelech. But God intervened and God said, Abimelech, you're a dead man. Abimelech said, why? What have I done? And he said, you've got a woman in your harem who is the wife of another man. And so Abimelech came to Abraham and he said, what have you done to us, man? Brought all this, why would you tell us that she's your sister? And Abraham said, well, I was afraid because I thought the fear of God wasn't in this place. The fear of man caused even Abraham, the great man of faith, to fail. My hero has always been David. A kid who was willing to tackle a lion, tackle a bear, and then was willing to accept the challenge of that Goliath. Man, how I love the story of David. Guy that was not afraid of anything, it seems. But I'm a little embarrassed when my hero went down to the city of Gath. And it was reported to King Achish that David, the fellow who killed the giant, has sought refuge in the city here. And he said, bring him to me. And when David heard that the king had ordered him to come in, he began to spit all over himself, just drool and slobber all over his beard. And he began to just scrabble at the wall and all, and acted totally insane. So that Achish said, "What do I want with a madman? Get him out of here." And David escaped out of the hand of Achish, the king of Gath. But there is my hero, acting like a fool, slobber all over his beard because of the fear of man. It brings a snare, causes even great men of God to fail. And then there is that other great hero of the faith, Elijah. That prophet who prayed and it did not rain for a period of 3 years. That prophet that stood alone against all of the prophets of Baal, who said, "Let's go to Mount Carmel. Let's have a contest. We'll build altars. We'll put sacrifices on them. And then we will pray to our gods. And let the God who answers by fire be acknowledged as the true God of Israel." And the 400 prophets of Baal, you remember, built their altar and they prayed until about noontime. And Elijah began to tease them a bit. And he said, "I'll bet your God's gone on a vacation. That's your problem, fellas. Maybe he's sleeping and you're not crying louder. You're going to have to wake him up. Cry a little louder, fellas." And he got them really worked up where they were cutting themselves, jumping on their altar, screaming and all in religious frenzy. Still no fire. And so about 3 p.m, he said, "Okay, guys, you've had your fun. Step back." And then just to pour salt on it, he said, "Dig a trench around my altar and pour some water over the altar. Pour more water over it. That's not enough. Pour more until the place was just sopped. The trench was full of water." And then he said, "Okay, Lord, not for my sake. I know you're the true God. But for the sakes of these people, go ahead and light the thing." And the fire came from heaven and consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice, the rocks, and licked up the water in the trenches. And all the people fell on their face and said, "Jehovah is God." And he took the prophets of Baal down to the little brook Kishon and he killed them all. Oh, man, he's my man. But the next day, when the queen, Jezebel, that wicked queen, heard what Elijah did, she said, "God, do to me and more also if I don't have the head of that prophet. And here is my great man of faith, my man of courage. For fear of Jezebel and her threats, running all the way down to Mount Sinai, and now he's hiding in a cave and saying, 'God, kill me. I just get rid of me, Lord.' The fear of man, what a trap, what a snare. But how many times have we fallen into that trap? As we too have succumbed to the fear of man. The fear of man so often brings you into a compromising position. You compromise on what you know is right. You accept a drink from your client because it means a big commission. The fear of man so often keeps people from serving the Lord. Jonah is afraid that he might be known as a false prophet because he knows that God is gracious. God said, "Go to Nineveh, tell him I'm going to wipe him out within 40 days. But knowing that God is gracious and knowing that if they repent, God may not do it, and then they say, "Well, Jonah's a false prophet." And for fear of man being called a false prophet, he got a ship to go to Tarshish. "I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to Nineveh." And the fear of man caused him to try to run from the service of God. The fear of man even is a snare for brilliant men. We all remember the story of the king and the shyster tailors who snowed the king, saying that they were going to make him the most beautiful suit in the world, but it was out of special material. A material that was so special that only the wisest of people could see it. And they were going to sew this suit together with invisible thread. And of course, it was going to be extremely expensive because of the fabulous material that they were using. And so they started this business of sewing and all. And then try on the coat, king. And he would say to his counselors, how does it look? Well, because only the wisest of men could see it, they all said, oh, king, it's very handsome indeed. It's good looking. And he was assured by all of his wise men how marvelous the suit did look. And so they finally dressed him in the suit that he might go out among his people, that he might determine, you know, just how wise his people were. But some fool on the corner said, the king is naked. And I think how the incredible absurdities of evolution are bought wholesale in the scientific community today because a man is afraid of being accused of being non-scientific. And so they're buying this whole hoax. I even read this week that whales at one time had hind legs and feet. Did you know that? Way off somewhere in Egypt, they have found some skeleton. And nearby, they found some legs and feet. So they must have belonged to the whale. If whales at one time had legs and feet, they would find the fossils all over the world. They wouldn't find them just in some remote area of Egypt. There would be hundreds of fossils of these whales with legs and feet. But pray tell, they were hind legs and feet. Now, can you imagine what value hind legs and feet might be to a whale some 60 foot long? And yet, for fear of being thought unscientific, uneducated, people buy into that incredibly ridiculous theory of evolution. I predict that the day will come when all people will laugh at the theory of evolution, when scientists, true scientists, will have enough guts to stand up and say, it's a bunch of malarkey, and will confess there is no real evidence for evolution of species. Oh, yes, there are mutations within a species, but we don't have any real evolution of from one species to another. But the fear of man, because I don't want to be thought of as some, you know, unscientific person, I say, oh, yes, my, isn't it wonderful? Whales had hind legs and feet. Fear of man brings a snare. Now the second proverb. In contrast. And really, what is the cure for the fear of man? The cure for the fear of man is to trust in the Lord. And so, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And this is the answer for the fear of man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in princes. We read that this morning, didn't we? And if you put your trust in the Lord, then you don't need to fear men. I will not fear men, what they can do to me. My trust is in the Lord. If your trust is in the Lord, you can't go wrong. When you're tempted to do what you know is wrong and you're under tremendous pressure to do it, trust in the Lord. Ask Him to strengthen you and to help you, and you will be safe. I think of the words of that song, "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly." And how many times I've fled to that refuge in Jesus Christ, and I've put my trust in Him and I've been safe. And when you're tempted by the fear of man to compromise, to do something that is evil, put your trust in the Lord. Stand up in the strength of the Lord. Now, seeing this as a proverb standing by itself, those who put their trust in the Lord shall be safe. Safe from what? You're safe from the damning and the conquering power of sin. So many people today are struggling against the power of sin in their lives, and they feel like they're losing the battle. They've followed all of the self-help programs, but still they are falling. And they have falsely concluded, "There is no hope for me. I just can't do it. I'm too weak." But the answer doesn't lie in yourself. The answer lies in the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And because you've been trusting in your strength and in your willpower and in your ability, that's why you have failed. Whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe from the power of sin. You will be safe from the destroying force of Satan. Our adversary, the devil, is cold, he's cunning, he's cruel. And in ourselves, we're really no match for him. And the work of Satan is that of destroying, and he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy everything that is good and valuable in your life. He wants to destroy your relationship. He wants to destroy your home, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children. Satan is out to destroy you. In fact, one of the names for Satan in the Bible is Apollyon, which is a Greek word for destroyer. And he's out to destroy you. And you really are no match for him. But he's no match for the Lord. And if you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be safe. For the Lord will be your strength, and the Lord will be your defense, and the Lord will be your help. Those who put their trust in the Lord will be safe from death and the damning consequences of sin. Jesus said, "If you live and believe in me, you'll never die." Jesus said that whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Now, Jesus is talking about spiritual life, not physical life, because our physical body is in the process of decay. The catabolic forces are at work, and you're going downhill, like it or not. Plants and animals have physical life. But Jesus is talking about spiritual life, for spiritual life is eternal life. And that's why he said you have to be born of the Spirit. You've been born of the flesh. That puts you in the animal category. You've got to now be born in the Spirit, which puts you into the divine category. and being born of the Spirit, coming into the divine category. The Spirit is eternal. And thus, those that believe in Him are born again by the Spirit into everlasting life. And that is why He said, if you live and believe in Me, you'll never die. You'll have that life of the Spirit. And so whoso puts his trust in the Lord will be safe from the consequences of sin. I have put my trust in the Lord. I have my faith in Jesus Christ. And my confidence is in the Lord and in His salvation. I have that blessed assurance that we sang about this morning, that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. I'm born of His Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And thus I have that perfect peace, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, for I have found Him faithful and worthy of trust. The fear of man, hey, that'll trap you. That'll ensnare you. That'll destroy you. But if you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be safe. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, at all times, O ye people. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful that we can be freed from the debilitating effects of fearing man by putting our trust in the Lord. And thus, having put our trust in the Lord, we need not fear what man can do to us. Lord, I pray for those today who have been caught in that trap of sin because they have feared man. They've been cowed by the crowd. They have compromised their convictions. And they are held in that trap because of the fear of man. They're doing things that they know are wrong. They don't want to. And yet the fear of man keeps them trapped. Lord, today may they be freed from that trap by putting their trust in You. Deliver them, Lord, from the power of darkness that holds them as they trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What will it be? The fear of man governing your life, dictating your decisions? Or will it be trusting in the Lord for His strength, for His help, for His salvation? We all choose as to what pressures we will yield to. And today you are being pressured by the fear of man, and you're also being pressured by the Holy Spirit to trust in the Lord. And you must determine, you must choose whether to continue on in the snare of the fear of man or to be freed by trusting in the Lord. You that have chosen to be free and would like to be free from the power of sin and the hold that Satan has in your life, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room pastors will be back there to meet with you and to help you find that place of safety, trusting in the Lord. God bless you as you go this week, and may your trust indeed be in the Lord. And thus may you know that confidence, that strength, that power, that overcoming victory that God gives to those who put their trust in Him. In Jesus' name.